Welcome to the Chirping Birds podcast. Eagles lose 42-19 to the San Francisco 49ers in a very disappointing letdown game. And we'll talk about it. And later in the podcast, we have our good friend Ryan Rinaldi back on to talk Eagles Cowboys in what is now the biggest game of the year. So look forward to that and the Eagles getting back on track. But before we get started here, Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Last Sunday was a bummer, though. I was just uncompetitive. Now I'll say three quarters of, I guess you could say the whole game was uncompetitive, but for three quarters of the game, that unfortunately was on the Eagles side. I was really surprised like how things just swung completely the other way after the first quarter. Really a tease.
Yeah, there's so much tape online after the game of just poor play and poor decision making by Jalen and poor, you know, defense and all this stuff, and I feel like in losses there is the doom and gloom and there is the reality check element of it. And the defense specifically, I think, is the big talking point as far as the part of the unit that didn't show up and the unit that struggled the most. That's to be understandable given the playing, 95 snaps or something like that in the overtime win against the Bills on a shorter week against an offense well-rested. So from all those angles, I can understand the loss. I still think that it was a really disappointing loss. And, you know, to your point of the first quarter, if that game starts off 14-0, I'm not sure what we're talking about right now.
Right.
So, you know, they're held to the two field goals and marched right down the field after the 49ers punt twice, and then the Eagles punt twice, and the 49ers marched down the field, scored two touchdowns. So, very, very ugly, and it was sort of a taste of their own medicine, the way that the 49ers got off to a big lead, let the lead get down to 8 at one point in the third quarter, and then just completely stepped on the Eagles' throats. And I think it ended up being 5 or 6 straight possessions with a touchdown. So
yeah, no, I mean, it was 6.
How
it went was the Eagles, you know, they get their two possessions that end field goals. And on the other side, the 49ers go 3 and out. They actually totaled negative yardage through their first two drives. It was, I think at the end of the first quarter, the Eagles had 126 total yards to the, or 124 to the 49ers negative 6. Like, they put up a graphic at the end of the first quarter. It was like, wow, this game is certainly not going the way I thought it was. And then thereafter, it certainly did not either. And thereafter, the Eagles continued to give up 6 straight touchdown drives to the 49ers. I mean, there wasn't a punt after those first two defensive 3-and-outs from the Eagles. So really, bad game on, I think when you give up 42 points, especially in consecutive, like they couldn't even scrape together one stop in the midst of those 6 touchdowns. Like, that's on Desai. That's also like on every single player. Like, I think Desai didn't have a great game plan. But I don't think it's fair to say that it's primarily on him when you just see the players, like, missing tackles left and right, not wrapping up guys. But like what is this with like the cushion on the wide receivers on early downs, on third and longs? I think it was on their first scoring possession for the 49ers. They're backed up after a long punt. And, you know, shout out to Breda Mann because he's been very steady lately, and he had them pinned deep, I think like inside or around their 10-yard line. And, you know, they're deep in their own territory, and their first down of the game at that point was on a pass to Brandon Ayuk, I believe. And it's just like it could not have been easier for Purdy to get the ball to Ayuk, and Ayuk to get like most of those yards back, because I think there was a penalty too. Then like from there, I was like, oh, I guess it's not going to be this easy.
Yeah, that I saw a stat that the Eagles defense was it was something like the Eagles defense is really good at getting teams to third down. Like they're really good on first and second down, but on third down they're horrendous. And you could kind of feel that in the Bills game and this game
Yeah, no, I've
where
been feeling it all season long. Like this goes back to like the Commanders games. Like they just cannot get
So
off the field on third down.
that's definitely concerning. I'm not sure where I had a weird like emotional experience watching this game because with the when they were down 10 to the Chiefs, I thought to myself, there's no way the Chiefs give up a 10-point lead, and obviously the Eagles won that game. This game I felt like I was waiting for the comeback because they had done it four straight times. And when Jalen took 8 seconds to try to direct traffic and then slipped and took a 20-yard sack, whatever it was, I didn't feel like in the moment, I didn't feel like that was a big deal. I just thought, okay, well, they'll just make up for this. And
Well,
there were
yeah,
so
because
many of those.
at that point the 49ers didn't have positive yardage. So like I felt the same. I was like, man, what
I
just
guess that's.
happened? And like, I mean, it still sucks because you're on the edge of the red zone, and then you're like on like medium to deep field goal territory. And I think that was on a second or third down. Like it wasn't on first down. So like you're kind of putting yourself in a hole there. Like, I mean, 20 yards, like that, you know, if you weren't any closer, that feels like it's an automatic punt result. So yeah. And that wasn't the only time
And
he
the
had a bad sack or held onto the ball too long. Like that was a theme throughout the game. And I don't know if it's squarely on him for not being more decisive, or if it's for the pass catchers to make more separation, or if it's, you know, if it's probably like you can slice up the whole blame pie, but like, is it the play design? Is it how you're calling the plays? How much of this is Sirianni? How much of it is Johnson? Like,
another stat I saw was the Eagle or Jalen has one of the best, it was either completion or like accuracy, but he has a very low like expected catch percentage. And I think it was Denise Selman
is
tweeted
it
this.
the completion percentage over expectation? I think you're talking about, right?
So basically what that was saying was that the Eagles don't the receivers don't get much separation, so a lot of the throws are not expected to be caught.
Yeah, not a
Basically
lot of
Jalen's in
easy
all these.
passes to make.
So that's part of it, I think. The the big debate I've been seeing the last day or two is the Eagles are fifth in running the ball, but they're not running well. Whether or not they need to run more or not, they're not having success running, and I think that's been allowing defenses to play safeties deeper, and that obviously hurts the pass game. So I think it's a combination of being one-dimensional and not being able to run and having the second. The 49ers have good outside corners. Like Ward and Lenore are a really good tandem, and they, there were missed holding calls and there were missed calls and stuff like that, and the Eagles didn't complain. But they played hard, and my concern is the offense is not dynamic enough and not creative enough. I saw another stat. I'm big on stats this week. I saw another stat that the Colts are in the top three in motion offense, and the Eagles are bottom. They use motion the least.
They didn't use motion last year, so I wouldn't be.
Right,
like
so
they look at that as that, like window dressing, I think.
It points to a Sirianni philosophy, not a Steichen philosophy. I think that motion. I'm not an expert, but a lot of the broadcasters, when talking about defense and this and that, it's like the guy in motion. If a guy follows him, you're in man. If they don't, you're in zone. I think unless there's an easier way to determine these things, I would think that using motion more is helpful to get more information about the defense. I mean, is it or is it not logical to if it doesn't hurt you, why not use it to potentially get the defense to reveal a bit more pre-snap?
Yeah, no, I mean, I see what you're saying. I think it's, it makes sense to me. Like, if I was a coach, I think that would be insightful, but I think it is, like, a philosophical decision, and for whatever reason, they just, like, I think on the other hand is, like, it takes longer for those to develop. Like, you do have to get the play into the headset a lot sooner. Your offense has to be pretty buttoned up because if you only have that one guy in motion, like, nobody else can be moving. So I think, you would certainly have to drill that and practice it to avoid the penalties. But, it's not something that we've seen the Eagles, like, really ever do. That is, it's a trademark of Shanahan tree. So 49ers do it, the Rams do a lot of it, and it has given the Eagles defense a lot of trouble. Yeah, the Dolphins too. Like, it is funny how the Eagles don't do it, and it's also something that their defense always has trouble with. But I will say it wasn't an issue against the Dolphins, and it wasn't an issue against the Rams. But I just think the 49ers, like, poor Nicholas Morrow. He was just toyed with all game long. Like, was just squarely in the crosshairs of Shanahan and McCaffrey. So, that's just a mismatch of, like, epic proportions.
Nate Gary-esque.
Yeah, certainly. Now, like, the defensive line just, like, I know Reddick got to Purdy, I think, on the second offensive drive for the 49ers, and, like, that was good to see, but, like, they just didn't really get too much beyond that. Like, you can't have nothing from your defensive line and nothing from your defensive backs, like, and, like, because we know that the linebackers are just, really bad. So it's like one of those two have to step up, and it's just across the board. It was just like a flop on the defensive part. And you know, like that, it was a surprising result, but how they got there is like the least surprising thing. It was like, we know that like Purdy is good at executing the offensive system. He gets the ball out on short yardage throws to Debo, to Ayuk, to Kittle. They use Christian McCaffrey like any way you could possibly use an offensive player on the field. And same with Debo. And they just kind of put the ball in their playmakers' hands and said, try to tackle us. And the Eagles said, we'll try, but no promises. And they just kind of had their way. So
Yeah,
I
it's
think it was disappointing from like an effort standpoint. I think it's pretty clear that the Eagles' defense like really lacks athleticism in its current state when you're not seeing their pass rushers like make impressive plays, 'cause like that's where like their overwhelming like brute strength and like quickness comes from. Like it's, I mean, they don't like their linebackers are athletic, but they're not athletic by NFL standards. Same with their cornerbacks. They're kind of old. They're more veterans than like up and comers. So yeah, it's like the opposite of the 49ers. So I would have concerns if we face them again. And that's like, you know, the obvious statement of the year. I don't know, besides having better rest, having like actual linebackers. Like, I do think Cunningham has been good this year, and his return will be helpful this week. I am hopeful about Shaq Leonard. I think that even if he has some portion of the juice that he had earlier in his career, like that is better than Nicholas Morrow. So I think that will be an improvement. But it's not like there's a whole lot else coming in the way of help. So not to say I'm out on this. I think there's not, you could count certainly on one hand the amount of offenses that I would be nervous of the Eagles containing. So it's not a long list of opponents that I think could pick on the Eagles like the 49ers did, but it's like, you know, kind of feels like all roads lead you back to the 49ers, whether it's at home or on the road. And let's hope that doesn't happen, because I don't know if there's a good solution.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm that pessimistic. I definitely respect the 49ers a lot more after that game. I think Brock Purdy's a lot better than I gave him credit for so far. Their 3 losses in a row kind of made me question them a bit and didn't give them as
Those were
much
without
credit.
Trent Williams, though, so that's kind of like the Eagles without Lane Johnson.
I see. Okay, so I think the Eagles can definitely beat the 49ers as like they're two of the best teams in the league, and in a any given Sunday type way. I think that they match up. They're elite at a lot of things, both those teams. So I don't think that the Eagles are incapable of adjusting and can't and aren't up to the task. Like I'm not out on the Eagles beating the 49ers. I think that it's a lot more difficult than we initially thought. I think Brock Purdy's a lot better. They're system and their team and Shanahan and all that, their defense is a lot better than I thought. I don't know that the Eagles are the best team in the league now, but I think any matchup against the 49ers is going to be probably 1-2, the way that it's shaping up, with the Cowboys' tough end of the year and the Eagles end of the year, and it seems like the one seed will go to either the Eagles or the 49ers. So the only time that they would play each other in playoffs, NFC championship game. So that's a tough spot, just like the Super Bowl is a tough spot. So I think any team can win. You know, those two Giants teams that won were 9-7, both those years, I think. So I'm not out on the Eagles as a contender. I'm not out on them at in any sense. I'm not out on them in an NFC championship game. I think that they were in a tough spot, as tough as it can get, and I think they were let down a bit. You know, third sort of rain, ugly, gross game in a row, having a historic, you know, amount of snaps on defense and this and that. I think they could have played a lot better, and it could have been a tighter game. I mean, they cut it to 8 points in the third quarter. Now they gave it right back, but I just think that the defense needs to make improvements, and they just have to play as a top 15, 16 defense. Right now they're in like the bottom five, I think, in a lot of categories. So
yeah,
I don't think they're, I think they're a lot better than where they're ranked on defense. As a silver lining to all this, I think the defense has certainly been bad the entire year. They've had really good games, namely against the Dolphins, but they're not a good defense right now, and they haven't been. But I think if they're a middle of the pack defense, this team can beat anyone. But they certainly can't beat the 49ers if they play this way in a playoff game.
Yeah, so
in that I agree with you.
They're currently 21st by DVOA, their defense. So they're still a game up on the 49ers. They still currently have control of the one seed. We know what the remainder of the Eagles' schedule looks like. The 49ers go... they are hosting the Seahawks. They go to Arizona and play the Cardinals. I would say those two feel like pretty convincing wins at this point. I think they're heavy favorites against Seattle at home, I imagine.
Their only tough game, I think, is Baltimore.
Yeah, Baltimore. And that's at home, so... That'll be a great game to watch. That's a Christmas game. So we will be rooting for the Ravens there. Then they have Commanders, and then they have Rams. So I don't know if the Eagles have a great shot at the one seed if these games go the way that we expect them to go. Like, if we're just looking at lines... So, I don't know. Like, you know, it's a big game against the Cowboys this week. The Seahawks, I don't know how you feel about them, but, like, I feel like I'm softening up what I was thinking that game would be like after seeing the Cowboys kind of light them up, at least offensively. Like, their defense looks pretty Swiss at the moment. So, that game doesn't look as hard as it did, at least earlier in the year. And then we know the last three games of the year they go Giants, Cardinals, Giants. So, like, I feel like we're all kind of earmarking those as wins already, and I don't think that's crazy.
It's the difference between 14-3 and 15-2, and I think these next two games, if they go 1-1, they'll probably end the season 14-3. And the question is that good enough for the one seed? And the answer is probably no.
Which is insane.
If because of a tiebreaker head to head.
Right.
Which, yeah, I agree, is insane. I think even if they lose to Dallas and they beat Seattle, they're in contention for the one seed, you know, regardless, just winning one of these and one of their next two. So, you know, this is a massive game, especially because the talent level drops off for the rest of the year after this game in Dallas. And it'll show us what the Eagles are made of. And I think with the amount that this gauntlet and, you know, people banged up this year, the one seed and home field advantage throughout, like the one seed's going to be massive. And if they're the two seed at 14-3, they'll still have two home playoff games to play. So it's a much harder road, but it's, you know, I don't know that we're as, or at least I'm as concerned with the division, even though this is a massive game, just because of the Cowboys ending the year at Buffalo, at Miami, home against Detroit, and the Commanders, I forget if that's home or away. So they have, you know, three tough games to end the year. They're entering their gauntlet, or I guess they're in it if you consider Seattle part of it. So, you know, Seattle, the Eagles, Miami, Buffalo, and Detroit is a tough stretch there for Dallas. So, I mean, they could win out too. All these games are important. So I don't want to be too confident. But I think 1-1 in the next two is the bare minimum at still having shot the one seed at 14-3. And it's tough, you know. It's losing three games all year is pretty good. And that might still not be enough for the one seed. So
yeah,
I don't really know what to think, really. I mean, the gauntlet, I thought 3-2, Chiefs, Bills, 49ers, Cowboys, Seahawks. If they go 3-2, I'd be satisfied with that, and going 1-1 in their next two would be 3-2. So 4-1 is I'll take that. They win the next two. So yeah, I don't really know what to make of this game, other than the issues that they've had all year were completely exposed to the worst degree on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, I mean, I know we've like beat this to death by now, but like, I still can't believe the NFL like looked at the Eagles schedule and said, "Yeah, let's send it." Like, looking at like the rest disadvantages and continuous weeks, coming out of the bye in sync with the Chiefs coming out of their bye, like they really did Eagles no favors.
Week two on a Thursday night.
Right.
They're on the road on Tom Brady Day as defending NFC champs, and then 3 days later, 4 days later, whatever it is, they have to play against the Vikings at home. Yeah. Who went, what, 13-4 last year or something like that? So at the time, it wasn't as clear cut. I mean, they're still a tough team. They're in the playoffs right now. They're a wild card team.
Yeah, and I don't know if we've mentioned this yet, but this is like old news by now, but the Eagles getting flexed into Monday Night Football against the Seahawks. Now, on one hand, that does give them an extra day next week, but it takes a bite out of the following week. So, you know, the NFL, I know they're...
That's a home game against the Giants after that, too. So they are coming back home as a consolation for two games.
And I think that that's the max allowable national games that any team can have in six. So nice that the Eagles are capturing the eye of the NFL. We didn't talk about the Dom DeSandro Trey Greenlaw showdown. Let's wrap up on that note, because that was I think if for Eagles fans, this is a game we want to forget, but if there's one thing, if there's one morsel of joy we had from this game, it was Dom DeSandro doing his job. I say that tongue in cheek, but tell me, walk me through how you were feeling, what you were seeing of the madness as it was happening.
So I thought throwing down Devontae Smith was unsportsmanlike or whatever, so I expected the flag. I was surprised that Dom was separating players. Like I had never seen that happen. And then when Trey Greenlaw poked him in the mouth. I don't know exact. I mean, it didn't look intentional. That's for sure. He looked like he was just pointing his finger and got a little too close. I thought he would probably get ejected. Like the broadcaster started talking about ejection, this and that. I didn't think Dom would get kicked out, especially because his job is security. I feel like that's a major liability to have your head of security not doing his job, but they're, I guess the NFL's reviewing all that and stuff, but it was just pure chaos, and I was hanging on to it as a spark as tightly as possible, and obviously that wasn't, it didn't end up being enough, but I was pleasantly rewarded with Trey Greenlaw ejection.
Yeah, no, I
So I was
mean, I
happy about
think
that.
that's certainly a trade you would take 10 times out of 10. I
Yeah,
thought,
yeah.
like, I think the most egregious thing from that play or from that sequence of events was, like, the suplex. Like, I thought it was a late hit. I think it was certainly egregious. Like, to my eye, it looked like his forward progress was stopped. And it looked like it was a late hit, so it was kind of
Yeah.
like double
There
dipping
was
on
a
like
late hit on
his.
Jalen running out of bounds at another point in the game that was not called as a side.
I must have missed that, but I didn't think Dom was doing anything like I think he was probably unnecessarily inserting himself into the scene, but at the same time, I don't think what he was doing was anything but peacekeeping. Like,
Yeah.
I don't think he was like rising the temperature, but I think
It did feel like they were
it seemed
bending the
like
rule of like a
Greenlaw
non-player
it seemed
getting
like
involved.
Greenlaw
He was just separating them.
yeah it seemed like Greenlaw took the opportunity to like raise the temperature, being like, who is this guy? So to me, it was like, all right, I don't think, like, this situation wouldn't be happening if he wasn't lingering by the sideline after he committed a penalty on, like, egregious and late contact. So, like, to me, it's like Greenlaw was leaving the situation up to some sort of boiling over moment. And I don't think Dom did anything to send that over, but then Greenlaw took that as an opportunity to be like, hey, who is this guy and why is he touching me? Which I get, but I don't think he was doing anything. Like, to me, like, that was just like, all right, come on, like, get off him and leave, and then
Yeah, I
fumbled it,
don't
then
think
ended
Dom
up
should have
taken.
been ejected at all, but
Yeah,
it'll be
I mean,
interesting to see how this affects things moving forward. But I mean, I've seen coaches separate people before. I don't know if that's
yeah.
gonna change now, but
I don't know if you've seen much of it, but like I anybody so you tell me what you've seen. I've seen 49ers like having the most like outrageous reactions to this, like, and I know like Kyle Shanahan, like he's a coach, he needs to do this to like defend his player. Like he was saying, like, you know, like we shouldn't be having like game day staff touching players. Like, who is this? Like, our team's gonna start strategizing to like pick on players so they can do like a 1-for-1 ejection. Like, you know, we can't have that. It's like, dude, nobody is going to think about this dynamic in another week. It'll just be like a
Yeah.
footnote
And
in a loss.
didn't Dom go to
Yeah,
the
they all
locker
hashed it
room and
out.
like
It was not a big
apologize?
deal. Yeah. But the other thing I was gonna
Or
say
they
is
hashed it out.
I think 49ers fans see how like Eagles fans were relishing, especially in the moment, because I do think there was like real momentum at that time. It's a shame the Eagles squandered it by giving up a touchdown after they scored their own. So like I will say in the moment it's like if I was a 49ers fan, I would be upset that like A, my linebacker or defensive player opened the door to an ejection by their actions, by lingering, by committing the initial penalty and then reacting how he did. Like that to me, that's like three strikes right there. Like how can you not expect an ejection? But then like afterwards, just seeing how like, wait, like the Eagles know who their head of security is, and like I think like the meme of it all like just really made them angry. And now it seems like there's just like a petition to get this guy like, you know, suspended without pay for eternity. I'm just like, dude, like you won. You won 42 to
Yeah.
19. Like, do yourself a favor and just forget that this happened. Like it is not worth it, your thinking or like you won. Just give us this little thing. It's not a big deal. To your point, they all hash it out afterwards, and I know the NFL needs to make an example so nothing like this happens again, but Greenlaw, he has like a history of committing penalties and being a hothead, so I wasn't surprised by him like trying to chop it up. Wasn't surprised that a 49er did something after the whistle, so that wasn't a
That was
surprise.
your
He's
prediction.
right. But yeah,
If there is a NFC Championship game in San Francisco, it's going to be interesting to see
oh my
how
gosh.
the fans deal with Dom.
If that happens, you know how like the mayors of cities will do like a fake, you know, little speech and they'll have like a motion or whatever? Like I think like the mayor of Cincinnati did something silly last year. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Not really.
Okay, well, anyway, these like local politicians of their respective teams will like have fun. It's like a social media post. If the Eagles are on the road and play the 49ers in the playoffs, I would not be surprised if there's some sort of effort to get their mayor, because they don't even play in San Fran,
Yeah, they
really.
play in
I
Santa
guess
Clara.
they're going to get the mayor of Santa Clara, if there's a mayor of Santa Clara, to like make it so that Dom's not allowed in like the city limits or whatever. Something silly
Yeah.
like that. Like he's going to be enemy number one.
Yeah. All right. Anything else on the 49ers, or should we get to the interview?
No, I'd say we got to move on. It's
All right.
time.
Let's flush this one, I suppose. And yeah, so without any further ado, our interview with Ryan Rinaldi. And now we welcome Ryan Rinaldi back to Chirpin' Birds ahead of Dallas Week in Dallas. Welcome back, Ryan.
Great to be here, boys. Good to see you. Just a wonderful week for the NFL. Just a wonderful week coming up.
Yeah, your Cowboys coming off of, I would say, a surprisingly entertaining game against the Seahawks. I think the Cowboys were like, what, 9-point favorites on the road. It was a close one. I'm curious, like, what were your big takeaways from that game? What did you learn? What has, I don't know, like, what's your current sense of the team coming out of Seattle in a game where Geno Smith, like, he was kind of, a guy that we haven't seen in quite a while.
Geno Smith was playing like Russell Wilson, rookie year Russell Wilson up in Seattle. So, I mean, yeah, he was definitely lighting up the secondary, throwing perfect balls past Deron Bland there on the corner to DK, who had a phenomenal game. But the reality is that, like, I think that game showed that Deron Bland is a lot like Trayvon Diggs in the sense that he can have a week that, he has two picks. One of them returned for a touchdown, and the next week, he can get a little overzealous, cut a route a little too short, and get burned as a result. And so, I think that kind of leads to what kind of expectations we should have for Sunday night, and that I think Deron Bland is someone that could very well influence the outcome of the game. If Deron, has a good game on the corner, and Stefon has a good game on the opposite side, we probably win the game. We can force a turnover or two. I think we probably win the game. If on the other hand we get burned in the secondary, we have some liability in the secondary, considering that we've lost Van Der Esch for the second or for most of the second part of the season and is out for the year. I'd say safety might be a liability for us. Obviously losing Trayvon Diggs doesn't help, but Deron Bland has really stepped up nicely. I think, looking at the Seattle game last week, it was optimistic. It provided a little bit of an optimistic feeling that the Cowboys can win close games. I think we've seen that all year with the Birds. And, we're kind of waiting to see that with the Cowboys, particularly against above a 500 team. And so, yeah, I think it paved way for an exciting showdown, on Sunday night. I was looking at last week's game going into the Seahawks game as like, this could possibly be a trap game, as I know, and obviously the entire NFL is anticipating the Philly-Dallas rematch. And so, yeah, I feel pretty good going into Sunday night. Not too concerned. I think the defense was what felt like the liability last week against the Seahawks. But I don't anticipate the defense being a liability long term.
You mentioned the under five teams under 500 part, which I feel like is the big, the big roadblock to considering the Cowboys, or the big national roadblock. I'm sure Cowboy fans think that they're, top of the NFC. But how do you feel about the team in that light? Like, obviously, you can't choose who you play. The schedule's a schedule. Eagles had a similar thing last year with having not playing that many tough games. But the Cowboys played the Eagles tough in Philly. How, Dak's been really good this year. How do you feel about the team going into this game, and the rest of your schedule is pretty tough as well?
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to get excited when you're putting up 40 on the Giants twice. The reality is that the Giants suck. Like, let's just call it what it is. It's very easy to look at games where they're playing pretty poor teams, and like, I think the positive outlook there is that they should be blowing out those teams. Like, talent wise, we should be blowing them out, and we are. I think that's the positive, but I'm also 30 years old, and I haven't seen the Cowboys in the NFC Championship game in my life, really. So I think Cowboy fans, particularly maybe millennial Cowboy fans, are thinking about it in with cautious optimism. The team is obviously playing well. It's great to see Dak playing at a high caliber. Dak doesn't look scared back there. He's letting the ball rip. And he's putting the ball in really impressive spots to a point where, he's having a tremendous year statistically, but he could probably be having a even better year if some of the balls that he fit into very tight windows were caught. And that goes from everybody from, you know, from Jake Ferguson to CeeDee Lamb, even dropping some of those tight window balls. And so I think it's exciting to think that, okay, we have a good team. Like, this is, I think Cowboy fans know, like, we're in a window. We are in a window where we have talent. We have a lot of young talent and we have a lot of veteran talent. And I feel like that is the right mix for what a championship team could look like. It's what a championship team should look like. It's about getting hot at the right time, having some things go your way, staying healthy, for the most part, without some of the, you know, obviously we've lost some key players on defense, for the year, but for the most part, and I'm knocking on wood when I say this, like, the offense has been pretty healthy. And so if we can stay healthy and the team does not play down to lesser opponents, which it hasn't yet this year, and it can rise to the occasion against some top tier talent, I mean, it gives us reason to hope. But even what happens Sunday night, really, in the grand scheme of this, probably doesn't matter that much, because what's going to matter is what happens in January and in February, when either we're on the road or hosting. Hosting is a long shot, but probably on the road against Philly or San Francisco. And the path to the promised land goes through either Philly or San Francisco in my mind at night. I feel much more confident going into Philadelphia, transparently, just based on how they played in Philadelphia a couple weeks ago. But, you know, I mean, like, it feels like the Niners have both of our numbers. And so it's hard to get too excited with knowing that they're there, that they are also getting hot. I mean, the last 10 games, the 49ers have just been just unbelievable. So, like, it's just, yeah, I feel like, maybe it's the last 8 games, but regardless, I just get, that's kind of how I feel about it, you know, excited, but we'll see.
If
Gotta show up in the playoffs.
an NFC championship appearance is as far as the Cowboys get this year, is that a success, or in Dak's, career with the Cowboys, only one, NFC championship appearance, maybe, a couple of playoff wins? How,
Yeah.
this question's asked with the Sixers a lot because they always lose in the
Sure.
second round.
Yeah.
What's a success for the Cowboys this year?
I mean, I would consider the NFC Championship game a success, considering we haven't been there in 28 years. And it would be the closest thing that we would have to taste of what a championship might feel and taste like. But I mean, the reality is that this team is built to win. This team has, I think, what it takes to win. And so I think anything less than a Super Bowl would be disappointing still, despite, like, obviously getting further in the playoffs would be exciting. You know, I mean, like, losing in the NFC Championship game to, you know, either Philadelphia or San Francisco would feel like, okay, like, still not good enough. You know, and I think that that's just the reality of it. We want to get back to the Super Bowl. We want to win the Super Bowl. Like, that's the ultimate goal. It can't be anything less.
So turning the page to this Sunday night matchup, the Eagles up 1-0 on the season. You mentioned the game, I think it's about a month ago at this point. Obviously, that was a very close game. There was a lot of drama throughout the game. I know the Eagles kind of got away with recovering two fumbles. There was the replay of the Schoonmaker touchdown, then not a touchdown. There was the Dak stepping out on the 2-point conversion. Like, there was a lot of things that went the Eagles' way. Ultimately, they leave with the win, and I feel like I'll say, like, amongst Eagles fans, like, when we're doing, like, the preseason go through the schedule, like, it's kind of a tradition to go, like, like, Philly will take one, Dallas will take the one in Dallas. I imagine it's somewhat similar with Cowboys fans. But historically, the Cowboys have, you know, won their games in Dallas. The Eagles' last win there was in 2017, so it's been a bit. And then it goes back even further. The last time the Eagles actually swept the Cowboys, that's 2011. So I feel like history is like rooting for the split here, but that leads me to wonder. I know, Dak, he's made his way into the MVP conversation. CeeDee Lamb has taken a big step forward. Micah Parsons, I feel like he's perennially in the defensive player of the year conversation. Not to take anything away from all those guys, but I'm curious in your mind, who's like a swing player on offense and defense in your mind that can, give the Cowboys an unexpected boost in their favor?
Yeah, I think as Cowboy fans also expect to split. I think generally, it's history will tell us that, like you said, we split the games that we play, and sometimes there's a sweep for 10 years. I don't feel as confident going into this game, thinking that history is just going to side with the Cowboys. Like the Eagles are a good team, and I can imagine they're going to be feeling a certain type of way after the whooping that they took last week with the 49ers coming to town. And so I expect them to come out hot, come out physical, and I'm optimistic that the Cowboys can meet them at that level of physicality. I'd say when it comes to like swing players, like players on each side of the ball that really will indicate how we're able to compete against the Birds on Sunday night. Like I think on offense is if we are able to get the ball to Brandon Cooks a decent amount, if you see him really part of the scheme to get that means at that point that he's already found CD and he's already found Ferguson, and he's looking at a third option consistently. And I would say that that would be a good indication that Dak's going to have his way with the Eagles defense, as I expect him to. Like, I mean, he's ripping up everybody for the most part, maybe with the exception of San Francisco. San Francisco game was horrible. But, and so, like, I think if you see Brandon Cooks get a couple reps, I think that's a good sign. I think obviously the number two beyond CD is like Jake Ferguson. Like, and
And
he
both
will.
those guys had big games against the Eagles.
Yes.
I think CeeDee had
Yes.
190, Ferguson had 90 in the touchdown. So
Yeah.
hopefully the Eagles have better game plans in store for them. But yeah, Brandon Cooks has came on recently. I think he has 3 touchdowns in the last 4 games. So he had a rather slow start to his Cowboys tenure, but I have seen that he's became a more productive player. So that adds up.
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, like, I think the other option would be to say, like, Tony Pollard. But the reality is that we just haven't had, like, kind of like the Eagles, we just haven't had the run game this year. Like, the run game just hasn't been explosive. I don't know if it's just TP coming off the injury that he suffered at the end of last year. I don't know. But, and it's not like the offensive line isn't playing well. Like, the offensive line is playing very well, like, to a point where they're giving Dak a lot of time to go through his progression. A lot of time to stand back there in the pocket and look downfield. But I'd say, like picking up the run blitz or like the pass blitz, I think would be a big component for Tony, more so than maybe even getting open in the run game or opening up the run game. I think on defense, I mentioned Bland earlier. Like I think he's obviously going to be a very key swing player. But I would look to I would even look to DeMarcus Lawrence to open up opportunities for Micah. I think they're gonna move Micah around, probably keep him off of Lane Johnson, like just not match him up against Lane Johnson all night. I don't know that that'd be the best use of Micah's talent, just with how effective Lane Johnson is. And so I think if they're able to move Micah around, and kind of keep Lane busy with perhaps someone like DeMarcus Lawrence, I think at that point you'll start to see someone breaking through the offensive line trying to get to Jalen. But that's going to be the key is like, can we get to Jalen? Like, do we give him a ton of time to then scramble and make some plays out of it? The defensive line needs to show up. And so, like, I'd say I'd look to DeMarcus Lawrence to kind of open up some opportunities for him, but also get the key stops on the run game if the Eagles try to really establish the run. I think overall, DeMarcus Lawrence is probably one of the most underrated, if not one of the best defensive run stoppers in the game, and it won't show up in a sexy, sack statistic, but he's just constantly opening up opportunities for the rest of the defensive line. So I'd look to D Law to have a big game.
Yeah, I'm also curious, like Osa Odighizuwa, like I feel like he's had a pretty good year. Like I mean, he's got a very tough name to say, but I also feel like he's kind of like an under the radar guy.
Totally. And he's another benefactor of having two, Pro Bowl players on that defensive line with Micah and with D-Law. Like, sometimes it's taking two people to stop each of them. And, naturally opportunities are going to appear for someone that's effective coming up the middle, like Odighizuwa is. And like, it's just, yeah, it's exciting. So it's like, I feel like we have the team, to do what we need to do. It's a matter of executing and showing up in big moments and having the fire under our ass to go and, punch the Eagles in the mouth, punch the 49ers in the mouth, and make something of the year. Because like, we can't keep this type of roster long term. Like, there's definitely a window that we're within, and so we need to capitalize on it.
Have you felt a Kellen Moore's absence, and how has Mike McCarthy been calling plays this year, in your opinion?
I went into the season very pessimistic about McCarthy's ability to call the offense. And I mean, he went into the year even saying, we're going to run the ball a lot more. We're going to run the ball a lot more. Like, that's the old school Mike McCarthy philosophy, but it really hasn't turned out to be that way. I mean, we don't run the ball that much. Like, in a lot of these games, it feels like Dak's just throwing the ball over the field, and so it's like, why run the ball? And when they do choose to run the ball, it's you start wondering, like, what's the point? Because it feels like Dak can really get us out of any situation. It feels like I can throw the ball with confidence. It doesn't feel like it's like last year. I think last year, the interceptions was a problem. Now many of those interceptions were also like dropped balls that went into the hand of his defender. So, like, in fairness to Dak, like, I always thought that that was kind of overblown. But that was like the narrative going into the offseason and into the new year, was that, oh, we're going to run the ball more, really be more of a balanced offense. We're not going to run up the score. Naturally, the team, and then obviously having a great defense who's scoring every other week, also helps running up the score. But we've run up the score just as much this year than we have last year. And so, like, I don't know. I feel very confident with Mike McCarthy right now, and I'm excited to say that. I'm surprised to say that, but like, he's had a great year. I mean, the offense is not predictable. It's not like, Kellen Moore would often get a little too flashy. It would result in early down, multi-yard losses that would put us behind the sticks, and then defenses would know that Dak would need to dig us out of it. And I think last year we just didn't have the groove. I mean, I think the cadence this year is wildly impressive, like, and you can hear it watching the games on TV. Like, Dak's in command, and it's exciting. So, yeah, I think that whatever Mike is doing in terms of the cadence, in terms of the play calling, like, it's definitely working. Even like Dak's, footwork just seems to be improved. And so I think even Brian Schottenheimer is like, he deserves some credit there as well. Might not be calling the plays, but it's definitely putting together an offense that can really compete with nearly anybody.
Any concern with the appendicitis?
I mean, like, it's not great timing. Like, I think the boys have their scheme regardless. I think I know, like, we can probably already tell, like, what their offense will come out and what they'll try to look like on Sunday night, regardless of whether Mike had surgery yesterday and might be under a fair amount of painkillers today.
The appendix
I'm
wasn't
confident.
a good luck charm or anything, I take
No, I just hope they didn't take the dog out of them. I hope
it.
that they left that in there and they're just like, yeah, you know what, we're gonna go out there and beat the you know what out of the birds. I don't know. It's not the best week for it. But in reality, like, the way I'm looking at this is, like, even if we do lose tomorrow, like on Sunday night, like, I feel like that will light the fire even more for what feels like an inevitable playoff, like eventual playoff matchup. But who knows? We'll see. But I think tomorrow night winning, or not, I keep saying tomorrow night, Sunday night winning would be a big, it would be bigger in terms of like the narrative and like the press around the NFL. But again, like Cowboy fans want to see, nothing really matters until the playoffs. And so like, that's kind of how we're like, how I'm thinking about it.
So one of the fun storylines leading up to this week started actually 2 weeks ago with the Colts cutting Shaq Leonard. Over the past week or so, he's been fielding interest from both the Cowboys and Eagles, and just the way that was going to set up, he would make his decision in the week leading up to the game. So he would be facing whoever team he decided not to join. I know from the Eagles' point of view, he is seen as help in a big way, whether it is effective or not. I feel like he possibly can't help but be effective given who he's stepping in to replace. The Eagles linebacker thing has been, that's been a trend for years now under Howie. But last game, it was, put on full display that, the Eagles just, between injuries and then just talent, like it is a gaping deficiency. They appear to have Zach Cunningham coming back from injury. They'll be having Leonard for the first time, presumably. I imagine in a starting role. So I mean that's that's pretty, like, I think that's a source of that gives me optimism, coming off of last week. I am curious though, like obviously the Cowboys had conversations, they met with him. What is like, was that a big need for the Cowboys, or is that just like, do you think he would have been more depth help? Or would he have been like inserted into the lineup? Like what's the need for help there on the Cowboys?
I mean, I definitely think it, like, depth never hurts. Someone that's I believe he's a former All-Pro. Like, he's like
Yeah, he was
really,
a three-time All-Pro his first 3 years. So he's,
So, like,
injuries
just
have derailed his career, sadly, but glad to see
and
he's
I think,
healthy.
yeah, I think that he, we would have welcomed that depth. In the world that is like Cowboys Twitter, or the world that is Cowboys buzz, obviously it was interesting to follow, but like it wasn't like, oh, we need this. I think there's a lot of confidence in Cowboys Nation around the defense. I mean, losing Vander Esch, I think, was the primary, like, it was very easy to say, okay, we've lost a core player to the middle of the backfield, and this could obviously be a nice plug, but I don't know that, like, I don't even know that he'd be starting even if he signed with the Cowboys this week. I think that he'd, Dan Quinn has a pretty has a pretty particular way of crafting his players in that backfield or in the defense, and honestly, I get the sense that it meant more to the Eagles, surprisingly, than it would have to the Cowboys. And I don't mean that in like any negative way, but like I just, it wasn't like it was a heartbreaking
Yeah,
news to
we're coming
us.
from a place of desperation here.
Yeah, it wasn't like, oh wow, like that means like they now have an advantage. Like, I mean, it definitely would have been nice to have, but I think from what I read, his main decision was with Nick Sirianni. Like, he was really interested in working with him, and so yeah, I think that's like, it makes sense. He's definitely someone that's built an exciting culture in Philadelphia, and I can see a player at his stage of his career wanting to try to make a run with the team that he felt has the potential to do that.
Yeah, and apparently he wasn't sold on the Jerry Jones pitch of the Cowboys aura. He's like,
Yeah, I mean, Jerry's probably still
I
selling,
just do
like,
not see
he's
it.
probably he, Jerry's probably Jerry's sales pitch, can you imagine what Jerry's sales pitch really is? Like, just walking him through just luxury down there in North Texas and talking about things that happened 30 years ago. I mean, it's hard to inspire. If that person really is only looking for to make a run. It's no secret we haven't been there in a while, so.
So as far as the stakes for Sunday night's game, now there are five games remaining for both teams here. A Cowboys loss would effectively lock them into the five seed, assuming that they don't, completely combust. Now, if the Eagles lose, at least for next week, they will be tied, and the Cowboys will temporarily have the tiebreaker edge. But given the last three games of the season, the Eagles having two games against the Giants, game against the Cardinals, notably a team the Cowboys lost to earlier in the year, that would, assuming both the teams win the games that they're supposed to, that would give the Eagles the ultimate tiebreaker advantage come the end of the year. So it's not a playoff game yet. It will certainly be a playoff atmosphere, but there's I you tell me what you think here, Ryan, but like this game means so much more for the Cowboys given, if they don't win this game, they likely lose the division. And we know, playoff games on the road, they're not easy. I feel like the Cowboys could get a friendly draw and facing the NFC South division
Nice.
leader, whether that's the Falcons most likely. But I mean, that's not a place you want to see yourself if you're having such a good year. So
Sure.
is that right? Like, does this feel like it means more for the Cowboys? I'm not saying it
Yeah.
does because the Eagles right now they're still in the fight for the one seed. Also, the Cowboys, I think they have, I'm not sure it's a big window, but it's not a 0% chance just yet.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's definitely in terms of the playoff standings, it's definitely a bigger game for the Cowboys, like no doubt. I mean, you guys have two games against the Giants coming up, and you get the Cardinals in there. The fact that we lost to the Cardinals at the beginning of the year was just a travesty, but whatever, it is what it is. I think, look, if you asked me this a couple weeks ago before you guys got past the Chiefs, got past the Bills, I would have said it like it's anybody's guess, but we Cowboys lose Sunday night. We're easily the five seed, and we have a tougher path. I mean, it would be nice at this point, given the Cowboys have I think a 14 game win home winning streak. Like it'd be nice to go into the playoffs knowing that we're gonna lean on some home field advantage. But the reality is that the remaining schedule is also tough. And we have to get past, some pretty tough opponents in the next couple of weeks beyond the Philadelphia game. So yeah, I would definitely say it's the stakes are a little bit bigger for the Cowboys. And at the same time, I think what gave me hope in seeing the Cowboys play against the Eagles the first time in Philadelphia was that I felt like we probably in a lot of ways could have won that game, should have won that game. And it did not like it felt like okay, if we had to come back here in the playoffs, we could do this, and we could pull it off. I did get the sense that that was the case, but in the playoffs, it's obviously it's always the this the pressure's on and it becomes more difficult. So yeah, how do you guys feel? Like I mean, like you, how do you feel coming off of last week? With the game that you guys had, I mean, we both got smacked by the 49ers. Like, do you feel like the 49ers are beatable? Like, do you feel if either team could beat them, who do you think it could be? Like, realistically, with last week in mind?
I
Yeah,
think, sorry, go ahead.
it was a tough spot. Like, they played three games in 13, 14 days. The 49ers played on Thanksgiving, so they had 10 days off. So and the Eagles played the Bills. That game went to overtime. So the players didn't admit it. But I feel like a lot of the rationale for it was they played more snaps, like the defense specifically played so many snaps into overtime. they had a short week going into the Bills game also, because it was the Monday night before it was the Chiefs game. So, and playing really good teams back to back to back can wear on a team. I think they were due for a letdown game. You know, that's Mike asked me before the San Francisco game which game I would rather have, San Francisco or Dallas. I think I said San Francisco. So, you know, more for the one seed than the division. But that's at least personally how I feel. The letdown happened. I think that if they played again, both on the same rest, like it would have been a lot closer. I think the 49ers are a really good team. So I won't say, you know, the Eagles would have definitely won, but I feel like this Dallas game is gonna show a lot about the Eagles of this year, because they had so many tight wins. They've been down at halftime 5 games in a row. If they can bounce back and play well, if they can get off to a lead and hold it, you know, win in convincing fashion, I think they're back on track as the best, if not top two team in the league, and you know, Super Bowl, likely making the Super Bowl. If they struggle again, I think that this team is showing who they are. They're an imperfect team that has a bad defense and is susceptible to, you know, having a lot of miscues. So, a lot's riding on this game for me and how I view the team.
Yeah, no, I think last week was just like, you know, they got flat out outplayed. They got out coached. I know that they didn't have, they had some pretty obvious things going against them, like rest, the 49ers having strengths in attacking are like very obvious weaknesses, as in the middle of the field. So, I mean, it was disappointing, obviously, but like I don't think it's like an inevitability that they can't beat the 49ers. I do think like it was pretty clear that they're currently in a different class than the Eagles, and I don't know who else would even really be in that class except maybe the Ravens, like if we're going to open it up to the league overall. So I think hopefully the Eagles take it personally, and like they have the they take it as an opportunity to kind of like regroup and circle the wagons and get back to basics and like just kind of refocus and be like, all right, time to beat the Cowboys. So they are currently 3.5 point favorites, the Cowboys, that is. Eagles 3.5 point underdogs on the road in Dallas. Ryan, lead us off with your prediction.
I mean, look, there's I think the game will start off I think the Eagles will start off a little hot. You know, like I said, coming off a pretty brutal loss last week. And I don't even know. I'm afraid that like even if the Eagles had 2 weeks to prep for the 49ers, I feel like the 49ers still are they're just a really well-coached team. They execute nearly to perfection. And they will continue to worry me until someone else takes them out. But I think that the birds will come out hot first half. But I do overall think that Dak is going to be a problem for your secondary. I do think that we won't have the miscues. I'm optimistic that we might have the miscues we had in the first game. And I think we'll pull it off towards the end with a nice confidence score of 34 to 27. And I'm going to say my Cowboys win in the fourth quarter.
All right, Ian.
For those listening, Ryan has a cowboy hat on as he predicted a cowboy win.
Man, it looks authentic. It's not even like a fake one.
Yeah, you get. I mean, what can I say? I have to, for my own sanity, believe the Eagles will rebound from that wallop. And I think the offense gets back on track. The defense does not. It's going to be a high scoring affair. I would bet the over, but I gotta go with the birds, 33-29.
All right, that makes me the tiebreaker. The Eagles should have Dallas Goedert back for this game. He did have his arm broken in a, I think it's fair to say, a suspicious tackle, an arm bar tackle. We don't see those often.
Didn't look right.
I think he's gonna, I think it's, he's gonna really help this team get back to their running game. Obviously, he's one of the better blocking tight ends in the league. And they've sorely missed their short to intermediate passing game. It's kind of been mostly downfield throws, and you can't rely on those throughout the whole game. So I think his return is going to be big. Same with Cunningham. I'm excited to see Leonard. I think it's going to be really close. I know I said that in the beginning of the year that it was going to be a 1-1 split, but I didn't know we were going to win that first game. So I'm
You
going to
shouldn't
go.
have.
I'm going to go. It's a close one, but Eagles 27, Cowboys 26. It's going to be painfully close, but hopefully the Eagles can once again get the favor of good luck and leave Dallas with the series sweep.
All right. Well, Ryan, thanks for coming back
Yeah,
on.
thank you as always.
We might have
Great
you
to
back
see you
on in the
guys.
playoffs.
I would love that. Thanks for having me. Always a fun time. Good chat with you guys.
All right.
You guys take care. Good luck.
We'll have you back soon. For Ryan and Mike, I'm Ian. Thanks for listening.